This presentation will be on exercise for weight loss. Most people, including people in the fitness industry, place an emphasis on getting fit when it comes to weight loss. When a focus is placed on getting fit, the emphasis is always on being able to do more exercise for longer. For example, being able to run 2 kilometres, then 5 kilometres, then 10 kilometres. For years, the focus has been on doing more and more cardio exercise in order to burn fat. Regular gym goers consistently dedicate themselves to completing the same gym classes or using the same cardio machines over and over again. They follow the same format for the same length of time with no real objective. So we might end up getting fitter, such as being able to do more work in less time, but it doesn't always result in looking better. So there are plenty of people out there who are still overweight, but are able to run, ride or swim long distances. Their bodies have simply become efficient at moving long distances. The reason is the workouts they are completing don't have the right hormonal after effects that will result in effective weight loss, or their nutrition intake negates any effect the exercise might have. We've also been conditioned into thinking that we can use exercise as a trade-off for bad eating habits, or if we burn a certain amount of calories per day, we will then go into a calorie deficit and then lose weight. This comes back to the idea that we can force our bodies into losing weight. So I'll show you how this idea is completely flawed. So there's around 7,700 calories for every 1 kilo of body fat. So that's an enormous amount of energy just for 1 kilogram, especially if your body is already conditioned to storing fat and your nutrition intake is inadequate. So to give you an example, running at a moderate pace for 1 hour will probably burn around 400 calories. So just as a matter of interest, I ran a marathon, which was over 45 kilometres, and it took 4 hours to complete. And in total, I burned 2,500 calories. So trying to use exercise as a trade-off or as a way to create a calorie deficit doesn't work, and it's a fairly inefficient way to burn energy. We also need to keep in mind that our bodies don't just utilise fat for energy. We also need to be mindful that if we don't give our bodies the right fuel and nutrients to cope with the added stress of exercise, fat loss will not occur, and it can lead to overtraining and further weight gain. So I've covered in more detail overtraining in the Exercise for Weight Loss article. So exercise really needs to be strategic and not random. So trying every type of exercise and hoping that something works won't work. What we need to focus on is the right type of exercise that will give us the right hormonal adaptations that will result in our bodies wanting to lose weight. So what I mean by that is creating a response that will result in greater energy being burnt during the time that you aren't exercising and better insulin sensitivity. So our aim should be to do the least amount of exercise that will give us the greatest response. So this will create a cascade effect that will increase your insulin sensitivity and result in greater energy utilisation. This will then lead to sustainable, consistent weight loss. So two different types of exercise will help create better insulin sensitivity. The first to look at is high-intense interval training. So high-intense interval training is basically short, intense bursts of exercise at maximum effort. This type of exercise is good because it is brief and requires no equipment. There are examples on the Exercise for Weight Loss article for both routines inside and outside. Recent studies are now showing that shorter intense levels of exercise promote greater fat loss than longer moderate methods of exercise. A handful of 20 to 30 second intense intervals have been shown to be effective in increasing insulin sensitivity. So how does this happen? So the effort required helps to break down stored muscle glycogen in muscle cells. The cells then need to obtain more glycogen in order to expand and contract. This then leads to lower blood sugar levels and better insulin sensitivity. When we have better insulin sensitivity, blood sugar is pushed into muscle cells and not stored as fat. So a good example is of an Olympic sprinter versus a marathon runner. The sprinter runs very short distances at maximum output. The marathon runner runs huge distances at a moderate pace. Both are lean, however, the sprinter completes far less work and has more lean muscle tissue and less body fat. So we don't necessarily have to sprint. Other forms of exercise can help create this response, such as bodyweight exercises like push-ups or squats, using a push bike or an exercise bike, rowing machines, using free weights or kettlebells. So what to keep in mind is the intensity. It needs to be brief but maximum output, such as you're unable to cover any more distance or complete any more reps within a certain time frame. So exercises should work the whole body or large muscle groups. Don't just focus on the amount of calories being burned either. It's a hormonal adaptation that's important. So what else can create better insulin sensitivity and assist in burning more energy during the day? Increasing lean muscle tissue through resistance training. So there's a common misconception, especially from women, about weight training that you'll get huge muscles. Even for men, gaining huge amounts of lean muscle mass naturally takes years and years of hard work and dedication. And women don't have anywhere near the high testosterone levels that men do, which is required for gaining muscle. So women don't have to worry about bulking up. So again, what should we focus on? Exercises that work multiple joints and use the largest muscle groups. So the three main muscle groups that should be targeted are the chest, back and legs. Arms will also be worked when training the back and chest. So for example, the exercise on the left works two joints and multiple muscles of the arms, shoulders and back, which is called a compound exercise. The exercise on the right works one joint and one muscle, which is called an isolation exercise. So the exercise on the left is more efficient and it utilises more muscles at one time. So there'll be downloadable exercise programs on the site that you can utilise as well. So increasing lean muscle tissue will have a twofold effect. So weight training will help improve insulin sensitivity, and an increase in muscle size will result in a higher metabolic rate. So the extra muscle tissue will utilise more energy during the day. So when should you start exercise? So your nutrition intake needs to be adequate enough in order to support the added stress of training. So you want to consistently be consuming the right protein, plant food and omega-3 fat with each meal. If not, your body will not be receiving the right nutrients in order to repair, grow and assist with weight loss. If your nutrition intake is not adequate, you're better off spending the time making sure that you're consistently consuming the right foods at each meal. So how much exercise? You want to build up to around 3 to 4 times per week at a max. You can refer to the site for a full list of downloadable exercise routines.